This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan Live Radio Row. Brought to you by Stella Artois, and the Low T Center segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or loved ones injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. As Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic joins us now to talk some football. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, you know, we're doing good. Last week, the outrage all about Schottenheimer, and then it moved to Luka, right? But we still have all this Cowboys news to talk. And it's been fairly good, hasn't it, since the hiring of Schottenheimer, the coordinator coming aboard from Arizona, some of the position coaches. What do you think of the way they're going around making out this coaching staff?
Yeah, I think he's filling the staff out with some interesting guys. You know, I think one of the reasons why you guys want to talk to me is because they hired Aaron Whitecotton as D-line coach. And he was somebody that the Jets were interested in keeping. I think Aaron Glenn decided to just kind of have his own staff. But Aaron Whitecotton, I would say, was one of the bright spots on that coaching staff for the last few years. Their defensive line was really, really good for the most part. He developed Bryce Huff, who was an undrafted guy, into a very good player. He developed Will McDonald in 2 years into a highly productive player. You know, Jermaine Johnson was a Pro Bowler in his second year. He did a really good job. When you hand him guys with talent, he's really good at crafting them into, like, really good pass rushers. And, you know, the Jets defense, you know, it's not an easy job for a defensive line coach because their whole thing is they don't blitz. And so the guys up front have to win their matchups. And so they did a rotation. There's rotating guys in there constantly, keeping them fresh. And I think he just did a really, really good job of developing young talent.
When it comes to head coach that gets all the credit or the blame, and then coordinators that get some of it, then we're down to position coaches. How important is it to get these moves right for a successful organization?
It's extremely important, especially at certain positions. I'd say your offensive line coach is extremely important. I think your quarterback's coach is extremely important. And probably like your secondary coach, I would say, are like the three most important ones, just because you can't win without those three key factors. And so, especially if you have young players at certain positions and things like that, it's important to have a coach who's good at developing and cultivating these relationships and someone they trust. And I think a lot of times teams falter in those spots, offensive coordinator ultimately is the most important out of all of them. But I think teams sometimes, especially an offensive line, if you get the wrong offensive line coach, it can really backfire.
One of the other connections with the Jets was Tyron Smith leaving Dallas, and he goes to New York. And it seemed like first half of the season, oh, my gosh, you're going to get a healthy Tyron back-to-back years. And unfortunately, it didn't end that way. But how was the Tyron Smith experiment year one in New York, and do you expect him to be back?
No, I don't think he'll be back if he keeps playing. I think it wound up being a little bit of a disappointment. He came with a lot of hype, obviously. Everybody was very excited. Like, the way they talked about him in training camp was like, we can't even believe we have him on our team. And I think as the season progressed, both the health and I think just age, like, you could just tell he wasn't the same player anymore. Like, he was struggling a little more with, like, really athletic defensive ends. He was losing more matchups than you ever really were familiar with. I think give up something like five sacks. I don't think he's given up even three since like 2017. Like, so he wasn't terrible by any stretch, but he was closer to average than you would have liked with a guy like Tyron. So I think you kind of saw why there probably wasn't a whole lot of interest in him in free agency last year. I think teams probably saw that the health was an issue and that he was probably on the decline. I'm curious to see if he comes back, what kind of interest he'll get. Because at this point, he's not going to get like a big contract, but if he's willing to, you know, be a veteran leader or a guy that is the bridge to like a rookie or something like that, I think it could work. But I don't know if that's what's in his desires.
Are the Jets the closest thing to the Cowboys as far as maybe getting a lot of attention that they don't necessarily deserve?
That's a good question. I'd say, yeah, I think that they're probably the most comparable. The Cowboys, just by virtue of being the Cowboys, are always going to get it. The Jets, the attention they get a lot of times is because people are laughing at their dysfunction.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the Cowboys, people expect them to be good, and sometimes they fall short. The Jets, they just like find new ways to lose. They have headlines sometimes where it's like, does any other team deal with this kind of stuff? And it's just, it's pretty nonstop, and it's always an adventure covering that team.
Yeah, that story about Woody was just crazy, and we actually went through all the points and were like, is this the Cowboys? Is this worse than the Cowboys?
Yeah. Or, that's funny.
You know, and I don't know your perspective on that, but I would think maybe the Woody situation is one of the few ownership groups in the league that's clearly worse than the Cowboys?
Yeah. I think they have the problem. I mean, Jerry Jones is the GM, so it's kind of that. Like, Woody just gets too involved in areas that he has no business getting involved. Like, he's not a football guy, he doesn't have a football background, and I think he listens to headlines, he listens to tweets, he reads articles, or his sons do, and they relay it to him. And so a lot of the decisions he makes are like based on winning headlines. And it's always, I always say this, like, Woody is very focused on results and not process. Like, he wants to skip the process to get the results, and that's why you see them making these rash decisions, going all in off seasons when they should just be building it out for multiple years. And so a lot of times they've shot themselves in the foot with that. So I think the hope is that he's maybe learned something from everything that went wrong in this last time, and he's going to let the guys he hired do their job. And I think at the start he will. But my question will be, like, when they do have struggles, is he going to stay true to that, or is he going to revert back to form?
It's Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic here with you on The Fan.
Yeah, Zach, how will the Aaron Rodgers era be looked at? And you talk about Jet history of some of the dysfunction, but how will that, was that something that never had a chance, or was the injury something that made it far worse for them? That could have been good if he was healthy, but he never was healthy. Did that turn it that way and it never was going to work out?
Yeah, I think it'll be, when we look back at his Jets career years from now, I think it'll be looked at in two ways. It'll be the what if of what if he doesn't tear his Achilles four plays into his first season. They had a lot of hope, a lot of excitement. It exposed a lot of the problems they had in the operation when he was gone. But like, so that part happens. And then the other side is, I think the experiment ultimately failed. And, you know, this last season, he was way more focused, it seemed to me, on like getting to 17 games as opposed to, you know, he probably should have taken a few weeks to sit back and heal up because he had various injuries that were.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bothering him, I think he, as you know, with Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot that comes with him being your quarterback, and
sure.
I don't think his play lived up to it. Like, I think the Packers put up with it for so many years because when you're as good as he is at playing quarterback, you can put up with all the drama.
Right.
But he wasn't playing up to a standard. I'd say he was pretty average, all things considered. He had some really good games, some very bad ones, and some really average ones. And he really averaged out to being an average quarterback. And that's, you know, it's fine. If you have an average quarterback, that's fine. But if you're an average quarterback who also goes on Pat McAfee every Tuesday and, you know, take shots at his owner or his, a teammate in the press conferences, like things like that, I don't think it adds up to a very positive situation. So I don't think it's going to be a situation that people look back on fondly, ultimately.
A lot of us on the Cowboys side of things are trying to get Garrett Wilson get a star on his helmet.
Seen a lot of fan bases trying to do that.
Yeah. Any chance he gets traded?
I wouldn't. I mean, it's a new GM and a new coach. I wouldn't rule anything out. Like, they could just want their own people in there, and you could get a lot of value for Garrett Wilson, I think. But ultimately, I don't see him going anywhere. I think his frustration, he's a very emotionally wears his heart on his sleeve guy, so people see his frustration. They hear his quotes after games. He's been frustrated with the poor quarterback play. He's played with like 9 quarterbacks or something in 3 years. Has had 1,000 yards each season. He had his best season this last year. He's been through, I think, 3 or 4 play callers. Most of them have been a disaster. And so, like, he just wants, like, some stability and, like, reduce the turmoil and get me the ball in the right spots and don't ignore me in the red zone and things like that. And so I think he's eligible for a new contract. I believe they will be interested in paying him. And if not, then it might be a situation where he's like, either pay me or trade me. But I think they'll pay him, and I think he'll be a Jet.
We were hoping to get Aaron Glenn. That was kind of our show's top of the wish list for head coach for the Cowboys. Obviously, he played with the Jets, was drafted with the Jets, did come over with Parcells when he took over with the Cowboys, played here. But what struck you with his press conference there? I mean, it seems like Aaron Glenn could end up being one of the better hires of this cycle. We'll have to see what ends up happening. But that might be a room for excitement for Jet fans.
Yeah, I think he hit all the right notes. Like, this is a team that has lacked, like, the kind of leadership they need. Robert Saleh's whole thing was letting the players lead themselves, and that can work, like, if you have a veteran roster or when you're not losing. But when you are losing, you need somebody to step up. And I think a lot of times guys, like, were not held accountable for their mistakes or the things they were doing. And I think you saw with Aaron Glenn last year at the Lions, he was losing guys left and right. Like, he was pulling guys off the street and throwing them in, getting them ready, and they were playing well still. They finished as a top-10 defense. The Jets, when they've had adversity, they've tended to crumble over the last few years. I think this last year, after Saleh got fired, I believe they had 5 or 6 losses where they either went into the fourth quarter with a lead or had a lead in the fourth quarter, which is an indication that the coaching or the discipline was not there. So I think he hit all those right notes. We'll see what it looks like in terms of pure X's and O's coaching, how he is. But in terms of, like, the leader, I think he's a perfect fit for what they need.
Now, what do you have for us on these Eagles, the neighbors up there? I believe a team you covered in the past. We're watching them kind of melt down last year, right? And the emotion of Nick Sirianni, we're thinking maybe this coaching staff is unstable. And then they have this awesome draft and all their free agent players hit. And they're spending all this money from the future cap to pay now. So, I Cowboys fans hope this is not sustainable. You know, is this Eagles' reign of terror they've been on for 7, 8 years? Do you think this is set up to continue, or are we near the end of it? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the salary cap is always going to be interesting, but I think ultimately, as long as they have Howie Roseman running things, like, I really do think they're going to be, even if they go through, like, a lull every now and then, like last year or whatever, I think this team is going to be in it for the long haul, just because he's so good at procuring talent. He's so good at finding guys like Zach Bond, for example, like this guy who was misused by the Saints. They saw something in him, changed his position, and he became an all-pro. Like, they have really good eye for talent with that, where I think a lot of teams don't focus enough on, like, those, like, diamonds in the rough. And so that's why I think Howie is such a good GM. Like, I think he's more of a good GM because of those moves, even more than, like, you know, it's not that, I mean, paying Saquon Barkley a lot of money, I guess, is bold, but, you know, signing, you know, training for Darius Slay or, like, a lot of these, like, star guys they bring in, those aren't, like, it doesn't take, like, a genius to know those guys are going to, like, work out. So it's sustainable if Jalen Hurts can keep developing and getting better and things like that. But, yeah, I think they're a team that their talent is just so overwhelming, it's hard to overcome.
We'll say that last part louder so the Jones boys can hear it back in Dallas.
Do you think Dick Fangio will have the answers to slow down Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the difference in this game, because I think if you look at coach and quarterback, the Chiefs have the edge. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes versus Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, but Vic Fangio is an X factor. Like, the defense is playing as well as it has all year, and so if he can scheme up some stuff to get Patrick Mahomes making mistakes, like, they have a shot of winning this game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's giving the credit to the Barkley addition, but it feels like them bringing in Dick Fangio to be their DC was, like, that might have been their best move of the offseason.
Yeah, and I think in the beginning of the year people weren't sure about it because they were, like, 2-2. I think there were some questions about how the defense was looking, and then they just turned it on, and they've really found the right pieces, and they've used everybody the right way.
Zach, if you were on an interview and the host continually pronounced the guy's name wrong, would you correct him?
What are you talking?
Vic Fangio.
What did I say?
Dick Fangio.
I said Dick?
Yeah. Okay. This does not count. Brian brought this up. You were not going to say anything.
Going
you were
to,
not
I,
going to correct
I told it. I don't want to be.
This does not want to be play in the over under.
You know? Exactly. So we're I'm doing a thing where every guest we have on, I'm going to ask a question and I'm going to purposely say Dick Fangio.
See if they correct you.
See how many guests will correct me. My guess is
that's
that no
game.
One will.
I don't think anybody will.
I don't think anybody will. Thank you for not.
No, but you notice what he did. He said Dick Fangio.
Now, you did make
it
a point to say Vic.
He did say Vic.
That was a veteran move.
Yeah.
Just a slight in there,
Zach. What were you thinking when he said Dick twice? Were you like, man, this guy actually doesn't know football analysis?
I mean, I thought it was funny. I've never heard somebody
That's what he calls him that all the time.
Ever since, as the head coach of the Broncos, he decided that there was no music allowed in the locker room and on the practice field because he wanted to be Mr. Hard,
football.
Tough guy, Mr. Football guy. I'm like, you know what? You are Dick Fangio now and forever. Still got respect for you, Dick, but... Give me a break.
Thanks,
That's
Zach.
So good.
And no problem, have a great week here in New Orleans. Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter. Read his stuff. He'll be here covering the game. Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I've got some questions for my guys. Hopefully they'll give me some answers. We'll do that next.